I'm going to talk to you today about some of the work we're doing at Metropolitan Hospital Center. All right. Enhancing continuity for patients and clinicians, the care team model. I just want to take a brief moment to thank my co-author, Marcy. She's here today, and if it weren't for her, I wouldn't be here. She was the one who encouraged me to join APHA and to submit an abstract. So I'm not going to make her stand up, but thank you, Marcy. No financial disclosures. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is talk a little bit about continuity and scheduling in a large medicine clinic. And I just want to take a moment to define continuity because I'm using a slightly different definition. Traditionally, continuity is between a patient and a clinician. So you're assigned a primary care physician. Ideally, you see that same physician every time you come to the clinic. I'm also going to be talking about continuity in the context of the staff within a medicine clinic, so physicians, nurses, clerks, all working together, all seeing the same people every day, working in the same place. I'm going to talk a little bit about patient-centered philosophy in medical homes, the methods we used at Metropolitan Hospital to improve continuity and the scheduling process, what we learned from it, and what we're doing to follow up, some of the challenges we came across, and recommendations for anybody else who's interested. So, this is the traditional definition of continuity between a patient and his or her provider. Increased continuity reduces healthcare utilization, including hospital ED admissions, and improves patient satisfaction. And a little anecdotal evidence, I hear a lot of times patients come in and say, you know, I'm tired of coming in and seeing different doctors. At Metropolitan, we have over 60 different doctors you could see because it's a teaching hospital. So we've had patients come in, and every single time they come in, they have to explain the same symptoms over and over again. Same thing with the doctors. They have a limited amount of time to see the patients, so it can be really frustrating to have to, you know, see a new patient every time you come in and not to have a panel. And a little bit about staffing and scheduling models. Effectively done, they can decrease wait time, encourage patients to keep their scheduled appointments, discourage walk-ins while still allowing for an open access system, improve patient-physician experiences, and minimize clinic downtime. So basically just overall more efficient. So a lot of people have heard of this patient-centered medical home revolution that's going on. I'm going to first talk about the patient-centered philosophy and then talk about medical homes. The idea is to have an interdisciplinary team working together for the patient, to have access to same-day appointments, same-week appointments, continuity, which I've already spoken about, targeted and population-specific care, so really, you know, focusing on the population that comes to the clinic and making sure that they're getting the care that they need. Care management is paramount. Promoting self-care, so, you know, making sure patients take care of themselves as well. And continuously tracking data and making sure you're improving processes as you go along. So medical homes have a long history, introduced by the American Academy of Pediatrics in 1967. And the goal is to provide acute, chronic, and preventive care that is accessible, family-centered, coordinated, comprehensive, continuous, compassionate, and culturally effective. I'm not sure why all those start with C. So I just want to draw a distinction between patient-centered and medical homes. You know, the patient-centered philosophy is really about, you know, making the experience of the patient as positive as possible, making things as easy for them, and really, you know, it's about the actions you take to improve the care that they get. To me, the idea of a medical home is more about the relationship between the patient and the clinic, or the relationship between the patient and the physician, or whoever the patient encounters when they come into the clinic. So it's more about sort of like creating an atmosphere as opposed to the specific actions you're taking. A little bit about Metropolitan Hospital Center. It's a municipal acute care hospital in East Harlem, New York. A member of the New York City Health and Hospitals Corporation, which is the public health hospital system in New York. It's a teaching hospital affiliated with New York Medical College, and specifically the adult medicine service, which I'm going to be talking about today, Over 20,000 active patients and counting. Active would be patients who have come in over the last year to 2 years. We have currently 9 attending MDs and 58 residents, 22 nursing staff and 6 clerical associates. So this has presented a lot of challenges for us when it comes to scheduling and making sure we have continuity for our patients and our clinicians. So the goal are to assign a preceptor, by the way, is a supervisor. It's an attending physician who supervises a group of residents. So the goals are to assign residents to a preceptor so that every single time they come in, every single time they come to the clinic, they're being supervised by the same person. Providing coverage for any scheduling changes or any physicians who have to be on the wards or in another subspecialty, you know, making sure that their panel's covered that day. Accommodating all scheduled patients in walk-in, achieving and sustaining continuity of care, and implementing the patient-centered philosophy in the context of a large urban teaching hospital. And I would add to that the medical home philosophy as well. So the methods are to assign PCPs to all active patients, determine a way to disseminate a list to all the staff, determine an efficient staffing model that incorporates care teams. In this case, a care team would be an attending physician supervising a group of residents, one or two nurses, a clerk, and again, it's about, you know, having the same group of people every day. Addressing any outstanding issues that decrease quality of care, such as long wait time, and to monitor qualitative and quantitative metrics to determine if our methods are working over the long run. Okay, so I would say the PCP list is my baby. It really was one of my first assignments at Metropolitan. I'm not going to go into the technical details, but if anybody's interested, I'd be happy to discuss it with them afterwards. We defined an active patient as somebody who'd come in over the last year. We ran a report to determine their most common provider. And then we took managed care roster. Managed care companies assign patients PCP, so we took the managed care rosters and cross-referenced them to make sure everything matched up. And then, again, if a patient said that they want a specific doctor, we would assign that doctor to them. Once we had formed the PCP list, we centralized the responsibility of updating it and distributing it. It's electronically, it's an Excel file, and it's distributed on a weekly basis to all clinic staff. The staffing model that went right along with this, like I said, the care teams, you have a clerk, you have a patient care associate is it's a type of nurse that draws blood or also has some clerical responsibilities. One RN and one attending MD or a resident team, again, supervised by an attending physician. We have care teams set up. The way the clinic's set up is you have different modules. So, you know, each care team will take up a different module, and we delegate responsibilities to those modules, such as verifying insurance. So it's those responsibilities are not centralized. They're delegated to each of the different care teams. Assignments are permanent. So, again, every time you come in, every Monday, Dr. X is going to be with Dr. Y and same nurse and same clerk, same location. And I just want to say something about the resident teams. You have first, second, and third year residents all together, which is it's important because, you know, each year takes a different amount of time with each patient. So you basically have automatic staggering. If you have a first year, they would take, you know, a certain amount of time, and a second year would take a little less time, and a third year would take a little less time. So if everybody starts at the same time, then the next group of patients that come in would be staggered automatically. Which, you know, makes the job easier for the nurses who have to do vitals and whatnot. Don't get scared. This is the schedule as it looks right now. I put this up here to kind of show you the difficulties of this task, setting up a schedule like this. And this is what's great about this is it's permanent. It's the same for an entire year. Which is great for me because I do reporting, so I can take this and I can easily run a report because it's always the same. And just so you know, this is the master schedule, so if there's ever any coverage provided, it gets a lot more complicated. But this is basically what we use week in, week out. So once we've done all this, we analyzed what happens. We had an increase in volume, about 10% if you look at it over the long run, and which led to an increase in collections, $13,378 monthly, in addition to an increase in productivity. And the idea is that because everything was now running more efficiently, you'd have increased productivity. I was speaking to somebody about this, and she explained to me that before we implemented this, residents would come in, and they wouldn't know where they were going to go that day. So they would get in, and they would have to figure out, what module they're going to be in. And then sometimes you'd have one preceptor and one resident, which is really inefficient because, in essence, the preceptor would have a lot of downtime. Where, as it stands now, we have three or four residents under each preceptor, so it's things tend to run more efficiently. In addition, we improved continuity of care immensely. Before we started this, it was 15%. Once we had made all the assignments, the PCP assignments, it jumped up to 44%. And once we had let the whole system run for 3 or 4 months, it skyrocketed to 75%. Staff satisfaction went up too. This is anecdotal, but I believe that after we implemented this for the first time ever, the residents gave the program, the residency program, a very strong support. We no longer cancel sessions. That was another problem we had before this. We would, if ever a doctor had to be on the wards or in another service, we would have to cancel that session, call all the patients. Now there's another physician will come in and cover all those patients. And also we have a walk-in provider, so anybody who walks into the clinic will be seen as well. Since then, we've done another series of activities to try to improve access. I'm not going to get too much into that because it was a whole other project. We've done team building activities. We formed care teams. Now we want the teams to work well together. This residence quality improvement initiative, they basically took, for the first time, they had a strictly defined patient panel. So they were able to take their patients and basically report out on, I think the first one they did was on diabetes. So they went through and they checked A1C levels for all their patients. And they all did this, all 58 of them. And it was really a huge success. Some of the challenges we had in implementing this, managed care companies will automatically assign a PCP if the patient doesn't choose one. And we were really, when we assigned PCPs, we were really focusing on who they had seen most often in the past. And sometimes this didn't, sometimes they weren't the same. And also, if you want to change a managed care PCP, the patient has to do it themselves. I can't call up the managed care company myself and tell them to change it. So it can make it a little difficult. I've spoken a little bit about floating and rotating staff. Absenteeism is the same idea. If one member of the care team doesn't come to clinic that day, it kind of makes it more difficult for everybody else. This culture of walking in and not keeping scheduled appointments, it's a big challenge for us. I mean, we want to have an open access system, but we also want to have patients keep scheduled appointments. It's generally better if they come in and see the same doctor every time as opposed to walking in, but it's hard to change that culture. And then ownership of responsibility. Again, you have residents have their panels now, and so if a patient comes in and it's not on their panel, you might hear somebody say like, "Oh no, that's not my patient." Care team accountability. We want to make sure care teams are doing all the responsibilities themselves, and that they're being held accountable. And reporting PCP changes, because it's centralized, we need everybody to kind of report if a patient says, "I want this doctor and not that doctor." It all has to come through one person, and sometimes it's difficult to get everybody to comply with that. So, recommendations, medical home concepts, and in addition, patient-centered philosophy are a natural way to improve processes in a clinical setting. And this formalized performance improvement methodologies, I didn't talk too much about, but the way we went through all this was through a process called lean thinking, which is which is a performance improvement methodology developed at Toyota. Marcy is actually going to be speaking about that tomorrow, so if you're interested, you can come hear more. But again, these are really good ways to, in sort of a place where it's hard to make change, these things can really kind of facilitate that. So that's it. Mm-hmm.